Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12, in a study he's entitled Reproach is Removed. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now, for myself, when I first became a Christian, I had a distorted view of my Heavenly Father. I didn't understand the true nature of Father God. I viewed him different than Jesus. Yes, they are the Trinity. Of course, I believe in the Trinity, but my relationship primarily at first was with Jesus. I read about him in the Gospels, and he died for me, and he's so compassionate and merciful and tender. I just so loved the Lord. But my Heavenly Father, I kept him at a distance. Because in my mind, which was totally false, he was kind of angry and upset all the time. And every time I messed up, this fire would come up. And Jesus would say, it's okay, calm down a little bit. And he was my advocate or mediator. But the Father was always a little mad at me. But Jesus was the one that calmed him down. That's not what the Bible teaches. That was what was in my mind. So I prayed to Jesus and would fellowship and worship. But things about the Father just never quite connected. Until I found out in the Bible, Jesus said, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. And Jesus came to reveal the nature and care of the Father. So whatever I see in Jesus, that's the same nature and character and love and tenderness and mercy that my Heavenly Father has. And that was like a revelation that opened up my eyes. I was blind and then I could see. I didn't even have glasses at the time. But what happened was I was serving the Lord. But a lot of things I was doing was motivated to try and earn some respect or favor from the Heavenly Father. So I was doing the right things, but trying to earn his love. And you can't do that. And the only thing that's going to happen, no matter how much work you do or how much effort you put in, you're always going to fall short because the standard's perfection. And you're never going to have a sense of God's approval upon your life. And that's because you have to realize that righteousness has been given to you by Jesus Christ. And that sets free. That sets the heart and mind set free. That's the grace of God. And like Paul says, it's the love of God that constrains me. That's why he was so involved and would lay his life down, because the tremendous love of God. And that's hard for us to receive. That I messed up. I rebelled against God, and he forgives me. Not only forgives me, he has heaven waiting for me and all the wonders that are there that my mind can't even understand. But right now in this life, he has a purpose and plan, and he wants me to be in his favor, and he wants to bring good things into my life. That's just too wonderful that we have to go to the Word and realize that's the heart and nature of God. And the devil wants to paint a different picture. And he's been trying to do that since the garden. That's what he said to the first people on the face of the earth. God's keeping something from you. That's why he doesn't want you to eat this fruit over here. That's a total distortion of the nature of God. And he's been distorting God's nature and the concept of who the Lord is in our hearts and minds for the last generations as well. And he wants to keep you from this tremendous love. Kind of dash your hopes and bring discouragement of hearts. That's warfare that comes against our life. I think a wonderful example is the Apostle Peter, who denied the Lord three times. And after he denied the Lord that third time, it says he went out and he wept bitterly. And he was weeping bitterly because there was no hope. Here the Lord's taken off and now he's going to be crucified and I blew it. So what did Peter do? He went back to his old life. I'm going to go fishing. There's no ministry for me. I'm no ambassador. I'm no apostle. I just better go back to what I knew, what I used to do in the past, because God can't use me now. I blew it too deep. And what does Jesus do? If you remember in Luke, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to steal, kill. He wanted to rip Peter off there. Jesus comes back, and what does he say? Peter, do you love me? Simple question, three times. And what did he also say? He says, then go feed my lambs. He was bringing forgiveness, but he was bringing more than forgiveness to the heart of Peter at the time. He also says, Peter, I still called you. I still want you to take care of my sheep. I still want you to take care of my people. Now go out and do it. That's the grace, the depth of the grace of God. Not only removes our shame of that sin and the guilt and the punishment that we deserve, he restores us to that place that he has for his purposes within our life. Again, it's just too wonderful to believe. Now, I've had a season in my life where if I heard a message like this, I wouldn't have been able to receive it. I'm not going to tell you the details about it, but I'll tell you the effect that it had upon my life one evening as I was driving home. I was so consumed with my thoughts and just kind of wrapped up in the turmoil that was happening in the set of circumstance that I found myself in. And as I was driving home and I got on Whittier Boulevard, I was pulled over by the police, and I didn't know why. Pulls me over, and his first question shines the light up. He says, "Sir, have you been drinking tonight?" I was kind of shocked. I said, "No, I'm a pastor. I don't drink." And he shined and looked in the car, and he saw my Bible sitting there and some other commentaries, or whatever, some religious books. And so he said, "Well, you know, why do you ask that?" He says, "Well, you were driving really slow, and you were kind of weaving back and forth." I mean, I was so consumed in my thoughts, I didn't even know that was happening. I just thought I was kind of driving. So I was kind of on autopilot. Luckily, there was no one else around that I didn't hit, but I was just kind of weaving a little bit. It looked like I was a drunk driver. Now, if someone would come and say, "Hey, he restores your life and he brings you in the purpose and blessings of God," at that moment, I don't think I would have believed it. And as that guy was interviewing me, trying to find out if I was drunk and, you know, why I was driving the way I was just glad that no one from the church drove. Hey, that would have added to the, "That was Pastor Brian." I was just ministering to him, trying to lead him to the Lord. No. But now to stand here today and the works that the Lord has done through our ministry, I could say with confidence, God's able to dig you out of a deep pit where you don't even know which way is up. There is no hope in the set of circumstances. God's able to take it, no matter how deep that's been, to reclaim you, to restore you, to remove all the past embarrassment and shame and bring you into his blessing and his purpose. That's the nature and power of God. That's what he's desiring to do for each and every one of us. And he shows no partiality. He's able to do it with my life. He'll do it with your life as well. Go back to Joshua chapter 5. I hope your heart is being encouraged today. We need to be encouraged. This is the warfare that comes against us, wants to discourage our heart. Now look at the last part of verse 9 there. He says, "Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day." That's where this reproach is being rolled away or removed. And that's what Gilgal means, the rolling away. And it's interesting, as I've pointed out several times going through Joshua, that God kept bringing the people back to Gilgal. They kind of made their base here in Gilgal. They'd go out and defeat the enemy. Sometimes they'd lose and come back. But the Lord kept bringing them back to this place. And it's interesting that at this place called Gilgal is also where, remember when the Jordan parted, they said take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan and pile it up. This is the place, Gilgal, where they put those 12 memorial stones. Also, it's a place where he's removing their shame. So they would go out, they'd battle. Sometimes they would lose because of their own, you know, self-dependence or not following the Lord. And they'd come back and they would see those memorial stones. Those memorial stones were to remind them of the power of God. Hey, God's brought us this far. He's going to continue to bring us on into the good things that he has for us. But it was also that place where God removed their shame and their guilt and the reproach. And there's something in the Bible that there's a powerful tool that God would call us to remember certain acts or activities that he's done in our life where he has removed our shame and guilt and those places of power. And for us as a church, we don't go to a certain place, but we do have communion. And communion is a powerful tool to remind you that Jesus bore my filthy garment. He gave me his clean garment in return. And I find it interesting. That's really the only ritual that the church has to observe on a regular basis. When we baptize, you baptize once. It's a done deal. But communion, the Lord said, do it. Every time you do it in remembrance of me. See, because our brains leak, don't they? Our brains leak about the mercy of God. And we need to be reminded of how deep the mercy of God is. That he's the one that removes our reproach. And he's the one that's wanting to bring us into his purposes and his plans. And communion is one of those times to be able to do that. So do as often as you take communion, think on the mercy and the depth of the grace of God, that he's the one that removes our reproach and brings us into that place of blessing. Now moving on to verses 10 through 12, the second point is, as I've been emphasizing, he restores us to a place of blessing. It's not, the grace of God doesn't stop at forgiveness. The grace of God brings forgiveness. And I believe also as we look at our lives, wipes out the effect of that sin. There are consequences of sin, to be sure. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. But God also will not stop working in our life because of our shortcomings, because of our sin.